Okay, I'm not entirely certain how one begins one of these. But if GQ can brave the surf and Mem can curse at trains, I suppose I can run my mouth for a while. Standard rules apply. I'm going to curse too much. I have no idea what I'm going to say. There's a fan running, wine, weed. If we end up in a dumpster in Toledo, GQ, don't say I didn't warn you. Okay. So I was talking to someone the other day who made a comment, and they said, I can't help it if I'm stupid. Yes, you can. If they had actually meant that they were stupid, then that would be true, because that's genetic. But what they really meant is ignorant, and that is a choice. It's kind of that whole, I'm entitled to my opinion. No, you are entitled to your informed opinion. No one is entitled to be an ignorant ass. Sorry, not in the rule books. Stop wasting my oxygen. to that end, I was reminded of one of my favorite philosophies, which is Stoicism. Which I can already see the face, Mem. This is not the stiff upper lip. Stop. Don't make me peck your angry eyes. So to that end, I pulled The Art of Living by Epictetus, who was one of the later Stoic philosophers. He was born somewhere in the Eastern Roman Empire, somewhere around probably 55 Common Era. He was sold as a child, crippled by a beating, ended up teaching in Rome, freed, until about the turn of the century when Domitian, who was, he was kind of a weak tea emperor, and he started to fear the influence of the philosophers, so he expelled them from Rome. And in exile, Epictetus founded his school of Stoicism, and among his students was probably one of the most well-known Stoics, Marcus Aurelius. If you're familiar with the Meditations, was his ruminations on the teachings from Epictetus all the way back to Socrates during his campaigns. He was, unfortunately, the last of the philosopher poets, and his death marked the end of the Pax Romana. Or as they said in Cherry 2000, this is not the end, this is not the beginning of the end, this is the end of the beginning. Unfortunately, the story got a little wild from there, but when it comes to Epictetus in particular, he had 93 rules, essentially, for using your mind. And the tenets of Stoicism, what I was going to say, M, is the stiff upper lip while seething inwardly does not count. Stoicism's basic tenet is that while you cannot control the world around you, what you can control is how you respond to it. And choosing to seethe is not something that Stoicism would find kindly. But the basic tenet being that it is a philosophy and not a religion, and it is something that you practice, just like anyone who wants to get good at anything. Side tangent, actually. We tell this to musicians, we tell this to athletes. Practice, 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 practice. Why does no one ever say this to writers? Really? Right. People talk about this all the time. Oh, I sat down to write the script. It was so hard. Well, when's the last time you wrote? I don't know, 7, 8 years? Dude, really? You gotta work the muscle. Your brain is no different. Reason is no different. Just because you respond a certain way doesn't mean that you cannot change your own behavior. But we're not going to go into whole behavioral psychology, because that's a whole nother tangent. Fun as that shit is. But. So I just thought I would take Epictetus here and just pick some sections somewhat at random and see what we come up with. So. Reason is supreme. Rationality is not everything. There are many domains in life in which it lacks access. The greatest mysteries of existence exceed its reach. Still, our reason is the best faculty we have to safeguard our integrity. Most people do not understand the correct use of arguments by inference and the proper use of logical forms, so they conduct themselves in a random, overly reactive, or muddled fashion and are easily misled. Clear thinking is not a bloodless art. Reason's job is to critically test our conjectures, both our interpretations and our method of arriving at them. Reason is not an end, but an indispensable instrument. Questions are the engines of reason. Thus, you need to learn how to frame questions sensibly rather than emotionally. If your ability to think clearly is compromised, your moral life can become fuzzy and equivocal. Reason can distinguish error from truth and a deep truth from a petty one. The marks of good reason are clarity, consistency, rigor, precision of definition, and avoidance of ambiguity. Hasten to your training in clear thinking so you can confidently enter a complex argument and not be thrown by it. This actually brings up a few things for me. How to frame your questions. Yes, I actually learned that from George Lucas. Love that. Labyrinth, thank you. If she'd asked, if she'd gone that way, she'd gone straight to their castle. Always know what you're asking. Ask the right questions if you want the right answers. Think a little bit more. People cannot read your motherfucking mind. Clear thinking is not a bloodless art. This one hits home for me because I tend to think through everything and I get a lot of shit for it, as if I don't give a damn. If I didn't give a damn, I wouldn't fucking bother. Hello, all I have in this world is my brain and my time. And if I'm giving you both, then obviously it matters. Okay? that absolutely drives me nuts. We reason because we love, not in spite of. They are not at odds with one another. Intellect is the blade by which we defend that which we cherish. But knowledge without wisdom is useless at best, and more than a little dangerous in the wrong hands. Reason is an arsenal. It is not an end game. Never confuse the message with the delivery. Wiring and character are not synonymous. Do we have anything else? Yeah, I think that about covers it. So what else do we have? Be careful about the company you keep. Regardless of what others profess, they may not truly live by spiritual values. Be careful whom you associate with. It is human to imitate the habits of those with whom we interact. We inadvertently adopt their interests, their opinions, their values, and their habits of interpreting events. Though many people mean well, they can just the same have a deleterious influence on you because they are undisciplined about what is worthy and what isn't. Just because some people are nice to you doesn't mean you should spend time with them. Just because they seek you out and are interested in your affairs doesn't mean you should associate with them. Be selective about whom you take on, as friends, colleagues, and neighbors. All of these people can affect your destiny. The world is full of agreeable and talented folk. The key is to keep company only with people who uplift you, whose presence calls forth your best. But remember that our moral influence is a two-way street, and we should thus make sure that our own thoughts, words, and deeds to be a positive influence on those who we deal with. The real test of personal excellence lies in the attention we give to the often neglected small details of our conduct. Regularly ask yourself, how are my thoughts, words, and deeds affecting my friends, my spouse, my neighbor, my child, my employer, my subordinates, my fellow citizens? Am I doing my part to contribute to the spiritual progress of all with whom I come in contact? Make it your business to draw out the best in others by being an exemplar yourself. Dude, you are who you hang with. Seriously. That shit will get to you. And we were actually talking about this. And thank you, Sly, because she posted House. And I posted Wilson because I am House. And we were discussing that, you know, I kind of need a Wilson to balance me out. Because if you put me with another House, I'm just going to plot world domination. And unlike with plotting it with Memo, it doesn't involve goats and wind turbines. It's more napalm. It's probably not a good idea. You have to choose, you know, what voices in your head you're going to let go. And you can't confuse id with freedom, because I love my id. It's great fun and very mean and hilarious. But it's like the bridge of an album. If you wear the groove in the record, it only goes in a circle. And a bridge that doesn't actually connect two things no longer has a purpose. And now it's not music. It's just sound. And is that enough? You gotta wonder. As new data comes in, you have to reevaluate. That's life. Everything changes. You have to change with it. Ooh, this one's good. Goes back to the original. Courtesy and logic each have their place. Propriety and logic are different things, and each has its appropriate application. The proposition... The proposition, either it is day or it is night, works well in a disjunctive argument, but not as a way to make friendly conversation. Likewise, at a banquet, it may make sense to take the largest share of food if you're really hungry, but it would be bad manners to do so. When you dine with others, be aware not only how much your body appreciates the delicacies offered, but how important good manners and personal refinement are. That's true. Manners and social convention, as much as they may irritate me and I find them to be kind of silly in a lot of ways, they do exist for a reason, because we are not all the same and you cannot expect a fish to swim. We do these things as a way to bridge our gaps. And if you're going to expect the entire world to act and see as you do, you are going to be very disappointed and very upset for a very long time. And that is like taking hemlock and waiting for the asshole to die. It rarely works out well for you. I don't recommend it. You choose. And it costs nothing to be courteous. It costs nothing to be polite. It costs nothing to try. And when people suck, that's on them. That's not on you. Take a stand. Once you have deliberated and determined that a course of action is wise, never discredit your judgment. Stand squarely behind your decision. Chances are there may indeed be people who misunderstand your intentions and who may even condemn you. But if, according to your best judgment, you are acting rightly, you have nothing to fear. Take a stand. Don't be cravenly noncommittal. Yeah, that's a big one for me too. I tend to wiffle waffle like a motherfucker while making a decision, because I want to make sure that I've considered every angle, and there are endless possibilities to chase down, and it does take me a while. But once it's done, it's done. End of story. That is kind of the beauty of being rational. The whole discomfort, uncomfortable, painful, it is what it is. Frost is right. The fastest way out is always through. No matter what you do, it's gonna suck. So make sure it's worth it. Make the right choice. And this also has to do with minimizing pain all around, because people drive each other crazy with the back and forth and I can't decide. And blah, blah, blah. You know what? Cut that shit and move on. Everybody will be happier in the end. Don't make it messy if there's no reason to be messy. If you know it's not good, then deal and move forward. That's all you can do. I don't really like looking back. The best way to honor the past is to internalize its lessons and carry them with you, not to pine for it or stare at it or wish it were different, because it never will be. In the past and the future, you can affect only one. So where are you going to spend your efforts? Which is not to say that I think you should overplan and be crazy, but you have to look forward, because the only moment you can influence is this one. So shouldn't you be present in it? Shouldn't you be looking around at what's happening now where you are? there's kind of no point in doing anything else. Let's see. We got anything else? Well, we have many, many, many things, but do we have anything else we want to talk about? Ooh. Caretake this moment. Immerse yourself in its particulars and respond to this person, this challenge, this deed. No evasions, no needless trouble. It's time to live fully and inhabit your situation now. You are not a disinterested bystander. Participate and exert yourself. Respect your partnership with Providence. Not sure how I feel about that particular wording, but... But Gandhi tells us that true happiness exists when what you think, what you say, and what you do are in harmony. That in truth, and that, again, is what Stoicism tells us, when you live without cognitive dissonance, when you accept things for what they are and what they are not, you will be happy. It is not the trappings that make you happy, because you can be happy during the pursuit. It is a choice. It is a choice of what you focus on. And the more you focus on things, the easier it becomes over time. Which is not to say that you don't relapse, you know, because I think at heart we're all reformed morons, and we all relapse from time to time. It's kind of like Catholicism. I was baptized. I didn't get a choice in that shit. The faith is gone. The guilt remains. And every once in a while, I will take all sorts of curses in vain, because it is what it is. You make the choice. Just like anything else, tomorrow's a new day. It's a fresh at bat. Every pitch is a new opportunity. You decide what you do with it. Or not. Self-mastery depends on self-honesty. Know first who you are and what you are capable of. Just as nothing great is created instantly, the same goes for the perfecting of our talents and aptitudes. We are always learning, always growing, and it's right to accept challenges. This is how we progress to the next level of intellectual, physical, or moral development. Still, don't kid yourself. If you try to be something or someone you're not, you belittle your true self and end up not developing in those areas which you would have excelled at quite naturally. Which is also entirely true. Again, fish cannot fly. Well, a few, but you must really appreciate those motherfucking fish. But knowing who you are and what you are good at and not pining over things that you will never be able to achieve is huge. As is knowing, it's important to know what you know. It's more important to know what you don't know. And that's one that makes me crazy, because I will tell people, I don't know, I'll have to do some digging. Well, it's really important. I understand that, but I'm still going to have to look it up. Well, I really kind of need to get back to him right away. Dude, I don't shit truth. At that point, I usually ask people, would you like me to lie to you? Well, no. Well, then, the longer you delay, the longer it's going to take me to get you a fucking answer. I don't know is not a dirty word or an evasion. It is simply a state. I am ignorant of this fact. I am aware of the method by which I shall remedy it. And if you'll excuse me, I'll do my motherfucking job. Dear Lord. There is unfathomable depth. The world is a fractal within a fucking fractal. The fact that we get upset because someone thinks that we don't know it all is absurdity in and of itself. I mean, good God. All right. On that note, we are closing in on 20 minutes, and I'm going to shut my mouth and apologize for whatever the fuck I just said and probably not listen to it. So, you all have a lovely evening. Good night.